I grew up in Colorado. I was born in Colorado and grew up in Jefferson County, North Jefferson County, actually. We live south now in South Jeffco, and that's the district that I'm running in, House District 25. So, yeah, I love my community. I love being a native of Colorado and care a lot about what happens. When we moved south, I was married, of course, and we have three wonderful children that we raised in our neighborhood that we've been in for a long time, and they've all gone to Jefferson County Schools. They went to Dakota Ridge. All three of them graduated from that school. So I was really involved in the schools. I've always volunteered a lot in the community, and really involved in the schools and those kinds of issues when the kids were young. I started a consulting firm about 20 years ago, also when they were pretty young, so that I could have a little bit more flexibility and be available to do volunteer work in their schools and be around for them. So I have a business, this public relations firm, for the last 20 years. And not only have I done community volunteer work, but a lot of leadership and board work and pro bono kinds of work through my firm. So just done a lot in the community, and I'm really proud to be a part of it.
Lisa, I know that you were involved in the Women's March on Colorado. Is that correct?
Yes, I still am.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, and has that in any way influenced your decision to step into politics?
Oh, it definitely has. After the election in 2016, I, like probably a lot of people, was pretty depressed, really unhappy. To me, it wasn't a partisan thing. It wasn't a Democrat and Republican thing. It was an issue of electing this president, what it said about our country and the direction we were going in. And I think it just not enough people were paying attention and being involved in directing, you know, being involved in creating the society we wanted to be in. So I'd always believed in championing things that were important to me. And I really, after wallowing and being pretty sad for a little while after the election, I really recognized I needed to get up and do something, and was invited to be involved with the march. I was brought in to do public relations and strategic communications, probably about 6 weeks out of the first march, and got really involved with those amazing women and who the original organizers, who were Karen Hinkle, Cheetah McClellan, and Jessica Rogers, and loved, just felt so empowered working with them and being a part of something that was bigger and that I think said a lot about our community, standing with women and men, all kinds of people from society who wanted the same things, just wanted to be treated equally and fairly and advocate for social justice. So that was really empowering. And I'd always been involved politically to some degree, or just been engaged, I should say, been really interested in the way the world works and how governance works. And so after being involved with the march, I felt really ready to take it a step further and run for office and continue that feeling of being empowered and doing something.
Well, give our listeners a sense of the area that House District 25 covers, and then what are your thoughts on the main issues impacting that district?
Well, House District 25 is really large. It's very spread out. It's primarily unincorporated Jeffco south of C-470. There's a few pockets. I live in one of the small areas that are to the east of, I said south, I meant west of C-470. I live east of C-470 near Ken Carroll and Morrison. And that's part of the, in the Dakota Ridge High School neighborhood. That's part of the district. And then all the way up to all the way up through Evergreen, Pine, Conifer, and Genesee, and there's just a tiny bit of Arvada. So it's a pretty big district. It's and it's mixed. I mean, there's not a lot of density. There's it's almost rural, especially in Evergreen especially in like Pine and Conifer. But it's the issues that people seem really concerned with are the environment and education. Those issues come up a lot. I think everyone's really concerned, especially after the school board recall in Jefferson County a few years ago. That really really woke people up and activated a lot of people.
The incumbent in that particular House district, Tim Leonard, who's the Republican, withdrew from the election over an issue with alimony payments and his ability to pay that on a legislative salary. So you're now the Democratic you're the Democratic candidate. We have invited the Republican nominee, the person who used to be a legislative aide to Representative Leonard, but we have not heard back. But how do you feel that your House district has been represented thus far at the state legislature?
Oh, I don't feel it's been well represented. And that's obviously one of the reasons I wanted to step up as well. I don't believe Mr. Leonard really paid attention to his constituents and was responsive to them. I mean, a good example of that was he posted something on his Facebook page, his public Facebook page. So for all of his constituents to see, basically, talking about how people that attended the Women's March were crazy. And he posted some article and it likened people participating in the march to Hitler's brown shirts. So it was pretty inflammatory. And I don't think that was respectful. You know, his opinion is his opinion, and that's fine. But I don't believe that was being respectful of the constituents he was representing, because quite a number of them, I'm certain, were at the march. So things like that, I think, were a little bit tone deaf. I don't think people clearly care about education, and Mr. Leonard didn't support, you know, a good public education by any means, by any action. So he didn't actually accomplish a lot, and that's what I intend to do. I intend to go and listen to people and actually hopefully accomplish some things.
Well, in terms of what other people will be dealing with on the ballot, there are several statewide measures, some pertaining to oil and gas fracking setbacks, others pertaining to funding for transportation and education. What's your position, first of all, on Prop 112 that would increase the setbacks of new oil and gas development?
That's a really good question, Maeve. First let me say that's really up to the people of Colorado to make the decision what to do about that. And as a legislator, I'll do everything I possibly can to encourage renewable energy, incentivize renewable energy and green technology, because I think it's the right thing to do. This particular measure, I've honestly really struggled with, because I think it's a good example of something really well-intended that makes a lot of sense, but that's going to have some pretty serious consequences for people. So quite honestly, I've really been digging in and trying to examine this and figure out where I stand on it. My first sense is that I think we need to do something dramatic to combat climate change and to acknowledge that. I think the time has sort of passed, right? We should have been paying attention to this 20 or 30 years ago, and now it's very dramatic. But then I've had some great conversations with people who point out that, Colorado alone is not going to change that. And this is going to impact a lot of jobs. And I know as well that there's a lot of rural areas that'll be impacted by funding issues with this measure. So it's really not an easy one for me to be definitive on. And I'm still really talking to people and trying to figure out where I weigh in on that. But I can assure you that as a legislator, once things are decided by, the people in what direction we're going to go, I'll do everything that I can to fight for renewable energy and fight for the environment, because that's one of my most important issues.
Well, there is another statewide ballot measure around increase of taxation for certain high income earners to fund education. What's your position on that one? And also the funding of the transportation. There are a couple of propositions as well pertaining to that.
Mm-hmm. I think the education measure makes a lot of sense. I really believe in investing in the things that are important to us and investing your time and your energy and your resources towards things that's what really says who you are as a state or as a society. And I don't think we've done a very good job with that in education. Obviously, there's lots of funding issues because of TABOR, Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And I think this measure is a reasonable way to ensure an equitable education for everyone across the state. And I really believe that we need to invest in education, because it's our future. So I am in support of that measure.
And then how would you tackle transportation? That has been something that's really been long fought at the state legislature, how to fund all the major transportation projects that need to happen in the state.
Yeah, a lot of our funding issues reflect back on Tabor, but I think that it's a reasonable, I think that the Let's Go Colorado proposal seems to me pretty logical and responsible way to approach this funding crisis. And I know that the Denver Chamber of Commerce, who's comprised of, you know, business leaders and people who invest in the state, they believe that it's a critical measure to support and have signed off on it. So I think it's I think that's a reasonable resolution. I don't think that any measure that does not have a clear funding mechanism makes sense. In other words, our budget is already squeezed so much and we have so many things that are vying for, you know, necessary funding, that to mandate transportation funding without figuring out how to fund that is irresponsible.
Well, in terms of what you could do or what you would like to do if you were representing House District 25, are there pieces of legislation or policies that you would take up, particularly initially in your first period in office? What do you think would be the big issues that you would take on if you were to be elected to represent House District 25?
Well, I'm really have been investigating some things that I want to put forward. And I know that I will likely put something together on the environment. I'd like to do something maybe around recycling or waste reduction, because I don't think that we do a very good job of that. And that seems like a pretty basic thing that we could tackle. So I'm currently doing research on that. I think also I've had some really great conversations with people about mental health care. And I believe that's just an integral part of our healthcare system and something that's been neglected for a long time, touches many, many areas. You hear that brought up in a lot of different situations, the lack of mental health care. I know in the schools there's not adequate support. And I've had some great conversations with that about how there's and I've had some personal experience with friends and family where there's a mental health to addiction to prison pipeline, and I think that's shameful, and I would really like to look at something to address that.
And what's this experience been like for you now as a first time candidate? You know, what's been your experience running for elected office?
That's a good question, Maeve. There's so many things that are coming to mind. I mean, it's been, first and foremost, I think it's been really exciting for me to see all the great things that are happening in our state and all of the really passionate and committed people that are doing, you know, doing positive things, that are involved in government and in nonprofits and doing things to try and make life better for all of Coloradans. So I think that's been the best part of this experience, is just meeting so many great people and constituents, people in the community that really care and they're willing to support me and support issues and support, you know, nonprofits and all the things that work together to make our community better. It's been quite a learning experience. I mean, there's a lot to learn when you're a candidate, and you know, hopefully I've soaked it all in and done the best I could.
And the House District that you're running in right now, the incumbent there, well, he's not running now because he's pulled out, we mentioned that earlier, but that has been represented thus far by a Republican candidate. So how are you as a Democrat, and particularly as a first-time candidate, you know, what reaction are you getting from constituents there?
You know, I've had a really positive experience. I mean, people have been very, very responsive. I think people recognize that it's time for a change. It feels like people have really become more active over the last couple of years and understood that, you know, that we have to make change if we want it. We can't just sit back and expect things to be a certain way. If you have to be a participant in creating that. And that's really the response I've gotten. People have been lovely. I've had great conversations at the doors with people. Even I'm running as a Democrat, and even people running as Republicans have been, for the most part, really kind and interested. I think the message that most resonates with people, and that is really, really true for me, is that I'm a communicator. I'm a public relations consultant. And so it's what I do is go listen to people, listen to their problems, listen to all the angles. I try to understand everything from a 360-degree angle so that I can make the best possible recommendations. I can understand the issue and help resolve the problem by understanding all of the complications. And I think people really appreciate that and want someone that'll go and listen and be respectful. So I might not change my mind ultimately on an issue, but I think it's really, really important to pay attention to everyone's concerns, even if they're not from the same party, and try to make concessions, because I don't think that things happen on the extreme right and the extreme left. And if they do, they're going to get overturned when someone else comes into office. So I think it's really important that we just work for maybe incremental change, which can be frustrating to people, but work for sustainable change that we can, that we can accomplish by listening and working together and collaborating.
Well, Lisa Cutter is a Democratic candidate in the House District 25 race this November, and she's been talking to us on KGNU. Lisa, how can people find out more about you, your positions, or maybe engage with you further?
Oh, I would love that. They can visit my website at cutterforcolorado.com, and that's Cutter, C-U-T-T-E-R, for F-O-R, colorado.com. I'm very reachable through the website. There's a email button and response button, and I would I'd welcome conversation anytime. They can visit my Facebook page, Cutter for Colorado. I'm on Twitter. I'm on all the things, and I'd love to talk to people. So reach out anytime.